Hello, hello, and welcome to Let's Talk About Time, the weekly-ish podcast helping you get things done and seriously shake up your relationship with time. I'm your host, Kat, and I share weekly bite-sized episodes for solo business owners who want to get hours back in their days, achieve more in less time, procrastinate less, and have more fun. Want to learn more about creating time freedom in your business? Download my three simple time freedom systems for solo business owners at kathuntervea.com/simple systems. Hi everyone, welcome back. I'm so glad you're here again this week. After last week's episode, you came back. I didn't scare you off or bore you to death with my dulcet tones in your ears for 15 minutes. So thank you for coming back for episode 2. I'm really excited to be back for another week and talking to you about all things time and helping you create more of it, because Lordy knows we all need more time. Last week's episode, we looked at how to create more time a little bit differently without looking at productivity apps or Pomodoro or planners. We asked ourselves what we could do less of in our time. I wonder how you went with that. I personally wanted to do less scrolling on social media, and I also wanted to spend less time at my desk. Not to say I particularly wanted to, not in the traditional sense, in that I wanted to work less, although that is also one of my goals for the year, but I wanted to spend less time just sitting down at my desk at home in my office. I think part of the conditioning of working in corporate environments over the last 20, gosh, it's more than that. It's more than 20 years. Just gloss over that, Kat. It's more than 20 years in corporate environments is that I am used to working sitting at a desk all day looking at a screen. And while that is sort of what's expected in traditional corporate or salaried roles, if you're in an office environment at least, that doesn't have to be the way I work now that I work for myself. So instead of coming home from dropping my kids off at preschool and heading to my office and sitting at my desk, instead of just sitting at my desk and working away, I worked from a cafe for 2 hours on 2 mornings of my week. And one afternoon, I actually went down to the beach and I sat at a picnic table because it was sunny and my house is freezing. And I've worked there, and having that change of environment really, really helped me. It helped with my creativity. It helped my head feel lighter, and it helped me get things done a lot more quickly. So that's what I did less of this week. So this week, I wanted to also start with a quick intro to me, because I realize that many of you may not even know who I am and who this person that you're listening to is. And I won't take up an entire episode talking about myself. All that's reminded me of is the crab in Moana, where she asks him to talk about herself and he gets gets really excited. That's a side note, a very deep side note that we probably don't need on the podcast. But for all the Moana fans out there, or people with children who are Moana fans, I see you. So a little bit about me. About a year ago now, I launched my virtual assistant business. And my goal was to support small business owners in helping take the load of their business back end off their plate and help them have a wing person to outsource all of their tasks to. But after working with small business owners for about 8 months in, I realized that just offloading and outsourcing isn't the only answer. It's one part of the puzzle, and it can create a huge weight off your shoulders and a lightening of your load. But the other piece of the puzzle was I noticed that most of my clients were passing me all this work, which was great for me and for them. But in terms of their own time and I guess their own capacity and love for what they were doing, I didn't see that instantly free up in the way that I thought perhaps it would have. And then when I dug a little deeper and I spoke to most of my clients, it was they were filling the time that they had created, giving their tasks or their projects away to me. They were filling it with the other things that they thought they should be doing in their business. And they felt like they were still working just as hard and doing all the things and working all the hours, even though they now had support. And I realize this sounds like a terrible advertisement for my virtual assistant support, but it wasn't so much related to the fact that they had support. They were really excited and thrilled to have the project support, and they felt like they wouldn't have been able to run their businesses without it. But it just made me really reflect on how we actually use our time and the, I guess, the deeper issues that are there when it comes to our relationship with time and the way we've been, I guess, conditioned to use our time. So after supporting small business owners for around 8 months, I decided to delve into actually supporting them with their productivity and with how they use their time and actually helping them develop tools and strategies that they can use for themselves and implement for themselves to help them create and free up more time and feel more mindfully productive. So not just working away like a hamster on a wheel, doing all the things, but actually achieving what they want to achieve and doing less. So creating more spare time for themselves, which is really why most of them, or most people that I know that are in business, start their businesses. It's for, when we start them for flexibility and for freedom. And then once we've been in them for a few years, as we start to get busy and they grow, we kind of create this second job, this second job for ourselves. Our businesses can become like the corporate roles we left. So that's a little bit about what I do now in a nutshell. I have a background in lots of different corporate roles in marketing and communications, as well as administration and organization. And I am a mom of two little girls. I have an almost 4-year-old and an almost 2-year-old, and life is fairly hectic. But I think more than ever now, with so many of us juggling so much, there's never been a more important time to really delve into how we're using our time and to challenge what's not working, because I know a lot of mums, and all the mums I meet are totally mentally drained. They are juggling all the things. It doesn't matter whether they work full-time, part-time, not at all. Being a mum in 2023 is a tough slog. So that's why I wanted to start my podcast, to support anyone and everyone who feels like they are a hamster running on a wheel. I can hear my neighbor's toddler screaming in the background, just to illustrate my point. And hopefully you can hear it too for the effect. To help anyone who feels like they are just running on a wheel and wants to create more time and be more mindful with how they're using their time. So that was not a quick intro at all. That was quite a long intro, but hopefully now that you know my life story, you're comfortable to keep listening. So what I wanted to talk about today is how to stop procrastinating. I'm not going to dive into what procrastination is, because I think we all know what it is. We've all experienced procrastination, especially if we work for ourselves, work solo, or work from home. Procrastination can rear its ugly head and take the form of doing 17 loads of laundry, 20 visits to the fridge, tidying up your front garden, cleaning out your kids' wardrobes. Procrastination can happen for a few different reasons, ranging from we don't have all the information, or we haven't done something before, so we're not sure how to do it. It can happen for a variety of different reasons, and it doesn't really, I'm not going to say it doesn't really matter why it happens, because it still does, it's still valid. But most of these reasons have one thing in common: it's that we don't want to fail. Failure as a word in itself makes us feel a bit ick. It's very negative. And if you're anything like me, it will give you anxiety in the pit of your stomach. It's a very triggering word. And as humans, we are wired to want to not fail. That is how we're programmed. Failure is seen as a bad thing, and success or not failing is celebrated. But on the flip side, failure is genuinely one of the quickest ways we can learn and grow. And we do know this to some extent on a surface level, but the problem is our brains, as we get older, forget this. If you look at small children, if you have a small child, or if you don't have a small child, find one that you can observe, but okay, potentially a friend's child or somebody you know. Don't just go to a playground and sit there and stare at small children. Anyway, if you look at small children, they fail regularly. They fail probably every half an hour, even more than that, especially toddlers and kids that are slightly older than toddlers. They fail all the time. And it is the fastest way that they learn. They learn lots of different things through trial and failing. So as we get older, failure is seen as bad. We don't like failing. We don't like feeling like someone doesn't like something we've done, or that we're not good at something, or that we haven't done something perfectly. Our battle with procrastination is also a battle with perfection and not wanting to fail. So when we're writing something, even if we're writing an email and we just can't seem to finish it, or we are completing a content plan, or we're writing a newsletter, or we're writing our website copy, or even if we're working on a project or a proposal and we just can't get through it and we just keep procrastinating. Next time this happens to you, maybe get curious and ask yourself why. Why are you hesitating? And try not to judge yourself when you ask yourself these questions. So why are you hesitating? Is it because you need more information? If it is, how can you get it? And if you're hesitating on getting it, why are you hesitating? Is it because you don't want to feel like you don't know everything when you ask the person for more information? Is it because it's a new client and you want to impress them and make them feel like you've got this? Or is it because you feel like you don't have the skills to do the thing? And if that's how you feel, is that actually true? Have you done something similar before that demonstrates that you do have the skills to do the thing? And if it's really true that you don't have the skills to do the thing, then how can you get them? There's a lot of different questions, but the reason I wanted to chat through the different questions that you might ask yourself when you're getting curious on why you're procrastinating is because asking yourself questions is often one of the easiest ways to kind of get to the bottom of what's really going on with procrastination. And often with procrastination, we can feel like it's just who we are, or it's just part of our DNA, or we work better to deadline, or we work better under pressure, and we just procrastinate and procrastinate until the final hour, and then we bang out something and send it through, and that's how we do things. And that's okay if that's the way you like doing things and you're happy with that, and you don't mind procrastinating and you don't mind leaving things till the last minute and doing them, and that's your vibe, then go for it. But if you're not comfortable with that process and you don't like doing that every time you have a task that you are hesitating on, maybe reflect on some of the questions I brought up and see how much of procrastination is actually about being scared to fail and why you might be scared to fail. I think the biggest thing that I have learned in the last year, since I started my business, is practicing being comfortable with feeling uncomfortable. So anyone who's ever started their own business, or who is an entrepreneur or working on a creative project, or even just going for a new role, whatever it is you're doing, it can feel really uncomfortable pretty regularly. So that feeling that you have when you're in a new role, or you just accept a promotion at work, or you move to a new town and you have to get to know people, that feeling happens regularly in small business, in any business, as a service provider, as an entrepreneur. You are regularly being pushed out of your comfort zone. And the sooner I learned to practice being comfortable with feeling uncomfortable and just started putting myself out there to the world and putting my stuff out to the world, big or small, whether it was perfect or not, and getting comfortable with receiving feedback on it, whether it was positive or negative, that's when I really started to grow and when I really started to change things and shake things up in the work that I was doing. It has taken me a long, long time to get here. I hate feeling like I don't know what I'm doing. I hate feeling like I might not be doing things perfectly. I don't enjoy feeling uncomfortable, but doing the work on this is really, really worth it. Trust me. Getting comfortable with failure, getting feedback on things that you do that aren't so perfect, and being cool with not producing perfection every single time you do something is the fastest way to grow. And ultimately, it will get you more time back at the end of your day and the end of your week, the end of your month and the end of your year, because you won't have wasted time worrying and procrastinating and going back and forth and delaying getting things done. And you'll have embraced going for it, feeling uncomfortable and doing the thing anyway. I hope that was a helpful episode, guys. I hope you once again enjoyed listening to my voice for it's been about 18 minutes now. If you liked this week's episode, please subscribe, tap the little love heart wherever you're listening to your podcast, whether it's on Spotify or Apple or Google or wherever you are. Please subscribe and I'll be releasing a new episode next week and I can't wait to share more with you. Thanks for listening to this episode of Let's Talk About Time, the podcast. I've made it my mission to share everything I've learned about time with as many of you as I can. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you hit subscribe. And if you would be so kind as to leave me a review, it really does help the podcast in reaching more people and helping them reclaim more time. Otherwise, I'll see you next week with another episode helping you shake up your relationship with time.